Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study in the home, we were talking about wives being obedient to their husbands, even though they believe the husband is doing the wrong thing. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Naomi, in the book of Ruth, we find that she is true to her husband, and she goes with him to Moab. Now, God would have Elimelech, her husband, and of course, Naomi and her, the two children, God would have them to stay in Bethlehem. But she is obedient to her husband. Now, there's nothing in the scripture there that says, boy, this is what she wanted to do. It's obvious that this is what her husband did. And so they go to Moab, and when her husband dies, she's still under the Old Testament economy. And since her sons are now adults, she must stay under her sons' authorities until they die. And once both sons die, then she's on her own. And when she's on her own, she goes back to the place that God had not wanted them to leave. Only now, she's broke. There's no husband to provide. However, she maintained her witness. As a wife, she was to be obedient and go with her husband. But she maintained her witness because she led her daughter-in-law, Ruth, to the Lord. And Ruth had no problem saying, your God is my God. So even in those years that she was in Moab, she was there, not because she wanted to be, but in obedience to the Lord. But she maintained a testimony and won her daughter-in-law to Christ. She went with them in obedience to the word of God. But her subjection affects the rest of her life. And from the human side, Naomi's subjection to her husband seems to be a negative result. She had more suffering as a result of walking in God's will, as revealed by the Word of God, to be subjected to her husband. And the result is her lot becomes poor. However, she also experienced aspects of God's grace she would have not known without the sufferings that she endured. Obviously, Naomi's affections were on things above. And so when her husband's sons are dead, she goes back. Her husband and two sons die. What grief that must have been. Can you imagine all that she has gone through with that? And now she's alone in a strange country, and in poverty. Yet she maintained a good witness personally and continued to walk with God. You see, Naomi is still dealing with real life problems. Now remember, her husband and sons were out of the will of God, and now God's chastening has come down upon them. But because she had remained true and maintained her testimony, God now gives grace to Naomi in the person of Ruth. And later, Naomi becomes the great-great-grandmother of a boy named David, who will become the king and will be the line through which Christ will come. Now, my friend, that period of life for Naomi was a very hard, grief-stricken, poverty-stricken period. However, for the last 3,000 years, she's been with the Lord. And there's no poverty or grief in that. And although her sons and her husband didn't know the poverty that she would experience, her last 3,000 years, even with them in heaven, I believe have been better than their last 3,000 years, because she continued in obedience. Now, don't miss that biblical principle and counsel, and that is to have eternity set in your heart. Circumstances will discourage us, and God may not want to change them. Naomi didn't experience the sin of her husband, say, going into adultery. And yet, if it had come, the principle would not have changed. And that is to have her heart set on eternity, having your heart set on things above. Now again, circumstances will discourage us, and God may not want to change them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure." Now, these are things that we don't take pleasure in. But he says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." He continued in God's will, although these things only increased upon him. In verse 15 of that same chapter, he'll say, "Yet the more I love you, the less I be loved." I don't know what the problem you face today may be. It could be that God does not want to remove it. It could just be that the things that are happening are in his will to continue just as they are. And my friend, yours is to realize simply that our help cometh from the Lord via the work of the Holy Spirit through the Bible. When we realize this and we commit to whatever God's will is, then, my friend, we can sing and praise God, as did Paul and Silas in the jail cell when they were in stocks and they were bleeding from the terrible beating. You see, we can face the most severe difficulties and tremendous handicaps of our mind, our life, and freedom through a daily walk and intimate contact with the Lord on the inner man. You see, you must have that belief that knows he will sustain you in the trials and difficulties, and by his grace, he will even minister joy to your heart. You see, too often, when it's not God's will to remove it, we battle against that part of God's will instead of following what Paul did in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. You see, you must strongly believe in eternity and realize that Satan is battling against you. If you're in God's will, but you battle against it, even though you're in his will, but you're just, you seem to battle against it, don't expect him to minister joy to your heart. Because you're battling against his will prevents it. You see, each Christian must realize that there is an ongoing battle to draw our attention from the directives of the Lord in our inner sanctum through the Word of God, to draw us away from those things to the circumstances that surround us. Now, the devil's ever fighting against you. You are in a war, my friend. It's a real war. It's more than a cold war. It's a hot battle. And my friend, Satan seeks to destroy you. Maybe a problem, or what we call a situation in the home. And it's not necessarily a sin, but it can draw your attention from having your affection on things above to the point that your greatest occupation of mind is either how to get out of the situation or how to get even. And when we do that, Satan is successful in his goal. You see, we assume that we're receiving some unfairness from life. And as a result, our mind is so focused on it that we're drawn from our intimate affections and communion with our Lord. So God can't say to us, "My grace is sufficient for you," because we won't allow Him to minister the grace to us for it. The fullness of God is His occupation of the entire vessel, our entire being, and everything that concerns it. Don't be drawn away from His will. In the same chapter of Colossians, chapter 3, it says in verse 17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Verse 23 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men." And so, my friend, there has to be a commitment and desire above all to please Him. We must be at a point of not only ye are not your own, but we also must be at a point of not considering anything my own. Beware of the world philosophy being cunningly woven into you. Do not think like the modern day romanticist and think that we are to find a solution, which most often leads to compromise. But don't think that we're to find a solution to every problem and live this life joyfully ever after in this flesh. Now, my friend, the Bible calls us to endure hardness as good soldiers of the cross. And we are to be occupied with the pursuit of His will daily. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.